Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Beasley switches it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Boyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a big hello to everybody out there, and a big thank you to Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham, Brian McDonald for plugging Soccer Matters after their great show. So appreciate everybody tuning in here tonight. Tonight is your participation night. All three of these segments are live. There's no taped interviews. It's your opportunity to get on the air tonight. I do have some Houston Dash and Dynamo tickets to give away. So welcome in, everybody. We got a good night here. ESPN975.com is the number. Is where we stream, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Guillermo producing tonight, as usual. Call-in number is 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. ESPN. So much to get into tonight. We got results from today. We had an interesting Barcelona match today. Two high-profile managers have passed on. We're going to do a Dynamo deep dive. I get the sense, I don't know, it's a bit of a nervy time. Drop to eighth in the standings. Look somewhat predictable. I know people are giving a little bit of a hard time to Ezequiel Ponce, but I'm going to tell you why you need to back off that position tonight. But we got a lot to get into. Columbus Crew, I mean, it's got to be the best team in MLS in the last year and a half under Wilfried Nancy. I mean, they're doing it all. That was a great Leagues Cup final. Even you Open Cup purists like the Leagues Cup final. And by the way, we do have Open Cup tonight. Indy 11, I think, is taking on Sporting Kansas City at 7 o'clock. So you got that. We got a lot of international stuff, players on the move. And the importance of Major League Soccer players learning to speak English. Big one. And we'll talk a little bit about that and why that, to me, is a non-negotiable. And that basically, You'll hear it'll come down to marketing, endearing yourself to a community, and not being an isolationist. But we'll talk about that as well. 713-780-3776. But the first thing we get to tonight here, this is a manager I got to know when I was working at Fox Sports World because I was calling the Italian Serie A matches on the weekends with Rick Davis, the former New York Cosmo. And we were privileged to call two games a weekend. And Sven-Göran Eriksson, the Swede, was the coach of Lazio, who won a dramatic tournament. So Sven-Göran Eriksson just passed away. 76 years of age, had pancreatic cancer. This came fast, in like a year. Surrounded by family. Pretty remarkable coaching career. 2001 to 2006, I'm going to pick out and cherry pick a couple big ones for you. He was an England coach. Remember that dramatic 5-1 slashing of Germany? He was the coach of that team. That was a team that, you know, had the Beckhams, Scholes, you know, on and on we went, that England team. So he was the first non-English man to coach or manage England. And I think, it's probably January of 2024 is when he revealed he had terminal cancer. Here's one quote he said about the game. He said, it's a lot of things, but the stress is always there. I love that stress. I miss that stress. Football is a drug, especially if you are involved in a heavy way. At 34 years of age, his calling card was announced. He was with Gothenburg in Sweden, and he won the UEFA Cup. And he had Benfica. He won two league titles at Benfica. And he won, I think he got to a UEFA Cup final as well. Then he coached Roma, Fiorentina, and Sampdoria. Remember, he was the coach of Mexico. Don't forget that. By the way, 713-780-3776 to call in tonight. Coach of Mexico as well. I remember the U.S. beating him 2-0 in 2009, and then he lost to Honduras, and then he got relieved from the Mexico job like so many before him. Let's see. Ivory Coast, he was a national team coach. He kind of became a hired gun a little bit later on. China, the Philippines, had a stint at Leicester City. So he managed 12 clubs. He also was the guy who gave Wayne Rooney his debut for England at 17 years of age. But outside of probably England and the fact that he was the coach of Mexico and CONCACAF, which related to the U.S. national team, I think one of his great coaching pieces was Lazio 99 to 2000. On that team that won the Serie A, listen to these names because a couple of them are high-profile coaches now, and one other one has passed away but was also a national team coach. Diego Simeone was on that Lazio team. Roberto Mancini was on that Lazio team. La Brujita, Juan Verón, was on that team. Fabrizio Ravanelli was on that team. The Chilean Marcelo Salas was on that team. This is a great team. Sinisa Mihajlovic, Yugoslavian, was on that team. So Lazio in 99-2000, Sven-Göran Eriksson was the manager. They won it. He was also involved in a pretty bizarre thing. This would have been a good theater of the bizarre, but it was called the Fake Sheik Incident. And this happened in 2006. So that happens the year the Dynamo come to Houston. The Fake Sheik Incident was when a journalist dressed up in a sheik outfit invited him to a yacht to drink champagne. And the fake sheik, who was a journalist, was a setup, was talking to Sven-Göran Eriksson about, well, I want you to be the coach of the team. I'm about to buy, I can't remember what Premier League team it was, but I'm going to buy it. And, you know, they got him on tape, and he was all in on everything with this guy about coming to coach them. He was already engaged with another job at the time. I think he even said, I can bring Beckham and, you know, all this stuff. But it was a fake sheik who posed as a journalist posing as an Arab businessman that was going to buy a Premier League team. And Sven got kind of grabbed into that. I want you to listen to this. Now, this is a very quick soundbite from him. It's about a minute and 20. It's about a minute and 20. I find this an incredibly succinct, very powerful minute and 20 seconds from Sven-Göran Eriksson talking about life, his impending passing. This was kind of like his goodbye to the public. So here it is. Here's Sven-Göran Eriksson saying his goodbye.
I had a good life, yes. I think we all are scared of the day when it's finished, when you die. Life is about death as well. You have to learn to accept it for what it is. Hopefully at the end people will say, yeah, he was a good man. But everyone will not say that. I hope you will remember me as a positive guy trying to do everything he could do. Don't be sorry. smile. Thank you for everything. Coaches, players, the crowds, been fantastic. Take care of yourself and take care of your life and live it.
Well, it got cut short, but at the end he just says bye. B-Y-E. He says bye. That was pretty powerful. And there was a lot of good stuff in there, no question. So, Sven-Göran Eriksson, former England manager, Mexico, Ivory Coast, China, Philippines, really noted for Lazio winning the Serie A title, Sampdoria, Roma, passes at 76 years of age, and he went quick in a year. Also, the German manager, Christoph Daum, I don't know if many of you will know him, maybe you will, he died at 70, also cancer. Stuttgart, Bundesliga title in 92. Three times he was at Bayer Leverkusen. They were runners-up in the Bundesliga. Three times. That's why they got the nickname Bayer Leverkusen until last year. So, Christoph Daum. Now, this guy was a very controversial guy. Got caught one time with drugs. And I think that may have been around the time where he was a potential for the German national team head coaching job. Yeah, he also passed away, 70, in cancer. God, enough of cancer. All right, so I'm going to go back to Sven-Göran Eriksson. Here's what Wayne Rooney said. Wayne Rooney, again, I mentioned, made his England debut under Eriksson as a 17-year-old. He described him as a special man. Rooney said, quote, rest in peace, Sven. Quote, thanks for the memories, all your help and advice, thoughts and prayers with all his family and friends. Joe Hart, the former Manchester City goalkeeper, was a starter for Eriksson there. Hart told the Monday Night Club, quote, that's a show over in England. He said, quote, he was just a lovely, lovely man with so much power and so much influence. He just had this beautiful way about him. I was probably too young to appreciate him. Yeah, that's interesting. When you're young, you sometimes, these things come late to you. Someone you later in life, and this is me talking, this is not Hart, but I just found that to be interesting because you realize as you move on in life, some things crystallize for you and you realize how important certain people, and maybe you didn't have the capacity at the time to appreciate it and understand it. So he goes on, he says, this guy cared. This guy had passion, interest in how we were as human beings. He was an absolute superstar everywhere he went, and he just owned it. Just oozed class. It didn't look like effort. These are the things I think about when I think of him. Another one of his players that was at Lazio was Simone Inzaghi, who's now the Inter Milan manager. Inzaghi won the Serie A title with Eriksson again at Lazio, 99 to 2000. He said, his passing is a great pain for me. He was fundamental in my growth as a footballer and as a man, the Italian said. I admired his calm, his education, the great respect he had for everyone. For me, he was a source of inspiration. Sven was a great man, an example for everyone. He taught us to live while he was dying. Beat Germany 5-1. He revived the 2002 World Cup qualifying tournament. And they got their place at the tournament in Japan, South Korea. The 5-1 victory over Germany was in Munich was memorable English national team win. It was after that win that Eriksson's team, which featured guys like Michael Owen, David Beckham, Paul Scholes, Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard. Remember the whole controversy of whether Gerrard and Frank Lampard could play together? Rio Ferdinand, John Terry, they were kind of coined the golden generation by then FIFA chief executive Adam Crozier. All right, we're going to take a break. We got a lot of Dynamo talk tonight. I want to do a deep dive on the Houston Dynamo tonight. I want to talk about Columbus. We got more international stuff to talk about. We're going to do a little review of the Barcelona game that took place this afternoon. So Sven was Swedish, so you're getting the whole Swedish connection here with ABBA. I thought this was such a good song to pick for Sven-Göran Eriksson. All right, Soccer Matters. ESPN 97.5 brought to you John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Little Patagonia Empanadas and Cafe. I had a bunch of them last night. Choripan sandwich, you get it. It's right near our studios here on Westheimer. It's Little Patagonia's Empanada and Cafe. Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. You're probably going to want to get there for, is it Liverpool United this weekend, I think? Yes. I think it's Liverpool-Manchester United this weekend. Got some signings to talk about when we come back. And we remind you, as always, get the Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats at LamontBrands.com. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Great story this weekend. I saw Sammy Hagar, and they did a lot of Van Halen songs. And I want to hear this out a little bit because this is a fantastic song. But so we're, buddy and I went to the concert. Great concert. By the way, Cactus Music. It's a perfect time to talk about Cactus Music with Break Music. Sammy Hagar was in town. The Red Rocker did a lot of Van Halen, did some of his stuff. Even did a little Montrose from his early, early days. Quinn Bishop. It's called Cactus Music. Vinyl, CDs, books, T-shirts. Everything music you could ask for. And you could go in there when they open and probably not leave till late in the night. Told a lot of people about it. So this is what, I think this is How Do You Know When It's Love, right? I guess Sammy must know. He was pouring shots of tequila to people in the front row. I mean, it's great to watch masters. That's all I can say. That can still do it. But it was a great, great show. A big thank you to Cactus Music and all their support of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. So if you ever just want an afternoon to browse and you love music, even if you don't have a vinyl set up yet, go to Cactus Music. It is very cool to put a needle on vinyl. There's something, I don't know, cathartic about it? Maybe not. Maybe too heavy. But it's great. All right. Welcome back to the show. Quick shout out here. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, Jan Christensen, my great friend there, danishinspirations.com for the best in modern contemporary furniture. And one thing I know is my dog has led a wonderful life laying on the best in modern contemporary furniture from Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Life is not bad. And I think yesterday, is that right, Guillermo, was National Dog Day? That's what I heard. Oh, you don't have a dog.
I do have a dog, but I didn't even know it was National Dog Day.
I think is that right? Somebody could call in and tell us. 713-780-3776. All right, let's go to the game that occurred today here. Barcelona beat Rayo Vallecano with a goal from Dani Olmo in the 82nd minute. Now, they were not playing well. It was even going into the second half. Dani Olmo came in, absolutely showed us the power of a singular player that can change a game, and you saw him in the Euros. Right, how good he was alongside Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams. Well, he didn't get Nico Williams at Barcelona, but first ball the guy picks up. I mean, literally the first ball. He runs about 45 yards, gets into the penalty area of Rayo Vallecano, and it could have been, I mean, it's a play where I've seen referees call it a penalty. But the very first ball he gets, it's just like, okay, I'm here. We're going to change the game here in the second half. Ball's moving quicker. It's getting off people's feet quicker. Tempo's better. They end up winning 2-1. He gets the game-winning goal. Here it is.
Valde. Ahí va Lamin. Ni lo acompaña. Lamin gana el fondo. Lamin llega hasta el fondo. La tiene Dani Olmo al arco. Gol. Para soñar como el debut de Dani Olmo.
Well, there was the goal call. So they went 2-1, but completely changed the game in the second 45 minutes. Endrick, the young Brazilian talent, gets his goal at the end of the game in a 3-0 win. Real Madrid over Real Valladolid.
Pica Endrick. Sigue Brahim Díaz. Brahim juega con Endrick. Endrick se va a animar. Endrick las individuales. Pegó Endrick.
All right, so Endrick scoring that goal. Now, you wanted to talk a little bit about some acquisitions that have been made in a variety of leagues. What do you want to talk about, Guillermo? Tell me.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you if you could, you know, rate these signings from what you would consider worst to best. So we got Marco Reus to LA Galaxy, Julian Alvarez to Atletico Madrid, and Endrick, the guy that we just heard the goal from, going to Real Madrid.
All right, so let's go first with Endrick. I'm not ranking him best to worst because they're all good signings right now. So Endrick just got his goal. He's obviously a signing for the future. He's a Real Madrid player. He's around the likes of Kylian Mbappe. He's around Vinny Jr., high-end talent. This is what Real Madrid does. And to get a goal early in La Liga, I think, is great for him. But he also has a level of maturity that, for most 17-year-olds, and a lot of it, I think, has to do with how confident he looks with the ball. So, obviously, that's a great one. That's a guy that can only go up in value more and be one of the superstars of the game one day, and that's a possibility. All right, what was it? Marco Reus with the LA Galaxy?
Yeah, Marco Reus.
Yeah, scores on his debut, right? I love what's going on out in LA because what you have is you have two clubs that are pushing each other and the envelope. It's the city of angels. You got to have stars out there, right? And they're pushing each other. You got Olivier Giroud now who signs for LAFC. You got Hugo Lloris in goal there. You got names. You got guys that have achieved everything in football there. You had Carlos Vela before that. And then you have all these other supporting cast players that are excellent, like in Ilya Sanchez and you know, Ryan Hollingshead has become kind of like a C-level star out there as a wide outside back doing a great job. You know, you never saw that real pop. You saw he was good, but it's interesting. You surround some of these players that we have seen, like he didn't pop to me as much in Dallas. At times, Christian Ramirez, it's like a star in Columbus again. You know, he's not up there with Cucho Hernandez. You realize that piecing teams together, putting people next to the right people, using it in the right times and games. How many guys have we seen go from the Dynamo in the past? Not, you know, that have gone to other teams and have shown a level of success because it's a different environment. Now, be honest, the last 2 years it's been much better. Prior to that, it's not easy. It was a roster that never got invested in. Nobody was serious about winning from an ownership standpoint. I'm sorry. I'm not taking that bait. I never will. I know it makes people mad, but I'm not. That's not me. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. And nor should any of the fans, to be honest, whether it's then or now. You know, and we'll get into that a little bit more. Okay, what was the third one? But again, just to finish, I love what LAFC and the Galaxy's responded now. They went and got Ricky Pooch. He was a question mark coming from Barcelona. He liked the flashy cars and the watches. That guy came to MLS to revive his career, and he has. And he's fun to watch. He's a guy that can, from a progression standpoint, pick a ball up and run with it. And that's an area we're going to talk about with the Dynamo tonight that's lacking, in my opinion, and I think opponents know it. So last one.
The last transfer I was talking about is Julian Alvarez to Atletico Madrid.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that one. Goes there to be the star, goes there to be the starter. Proved it out with Argentina. Proved it out. I think he had 17 goals for City last year, and he was kind of the sub guy for Erling Haaland. Yeah, so I like that one. That makes me want to watch Atletico Madrid even more because I think Julian Alvarez is exceptional. I think he's a great player, and you know, who doesn't like a good Argentine striker or playmaker, right? Which one of those three is the most intriguing to you? Now that you're asking the questions, I'll ask you one.
From these signings, yeah. I would have to say Marco Reus. You know, for the reasons that you presented. You know, L.A., you know, Los Angeles, they really want to be in the conversation. They want to be relevant. They should be in the finals. They should be on the stage. And they're bringing in players like, you know, that are finishing up their careers in Europe, but that are willing to take on the challenge that is the MLS.
And I think right now you'd even say, well, the Dynamo are in eighth place. Austin FC's in ninth now. Austin FC's right behind the Dynamo. Dallas is below them. The three Texas teams are, okay. I mean, we'll get into that. But that shows you how quickly it all happens. You lose one game at home, 1-0, to Toronto FC. All of a sudden, you bump down two places. There's nine games to go for the Dynamo, but we're going to get heavy into that. We're going to talk about the number nine position. I'm going to defend Ezequiel Ponce because I have some reasoning behind that, and then we'll hopefully get your thoughts on it as well. All right, let's go to Leandro Trossard. First goal for Arsenal, 67th minute. That was the highlight game of the weekend we mentioned here. Arsenal over Aston Villa 2-0.
Odegaard. Saka reached it. Trossard! What a kick of the football! A kick that may matter so much!
You know, as much as we all say it's early in all of these seasons, man, these points are important. You know, you get into the last two or three weeks, and you know, oh, gosh, if we only did this back then, or if we didn't hit the crossbar, or if we didn't have a bad 45-minute, you know, you can always do that. Big win. That was a weird – did you see his goal celebration?
Yeah, it was like he got stuck there.
It was like a zombie. It was – yeah, like he got stuck. That's a perfect way to describe it. It was weird. He just, like, I thought he was giving the evil eye to somebody he didn't like in the crowd or something. It was weird. It was weird. But its weirdness made it kind of, you're kind of like, is he all right? Is he going to drop? That was crazy. All right. Erling Haaland. Guy scores a goal every game. Like I think his numbers are like, a goal every game. 4-1 over Ipswich Town. Hits a hat trick.
May look an imposing sight, but Haaland may look the same for him. It's Haaland! It's 1-1. Of course it is. Haaland did as well. He could score again! This is just amazing! Haaland suddenly received it. Just like that. Just too hot to handle. A fabulous finish from Erling Haaland. His 10th Manchester City hat-trick.
Unbelievable. Here's Pep Guardiola talking about Erling Haaland.
He feels better than like previous season. After travel, he struggled to handle it and maybe not too much holidays and... And I remember the beginning, I said, I am still tired, a little bit drained. And this season for no Euros and relax and arrive really well. We talk a little bit in the States, like I didn't like some things that, and he changed, I think, mine. And I think, of course, he cannot play all the games until the end of the season. But you know how important it is, the numbers. Scoring goals and goals is unbelievable.
He is unbelievable.
Liga MX, let's take a trip down there. Roberto Alvarado scoring in the 47th. Chivas in a 1-1 draw with Tigres. Tigres just in Houston. Tigres here and Chivas for Leagues Cup. Here is Alvarado in the 47th for the Goats.
No le pega a Mozo, que va a tocar y va a encontrar a Piojo Alvarado dentro del área. Piojo Alvarado tiene el primero. ¡Piojo! ¡Gol! ¡De las Chivas!
And guess who had the goal for Tigres? Why don't you tell us?
André Pierre Gignac.
Still scoring.
Para llevar un poco más el partido. Angulo. ¡Acabela!
I love Tigres' visit here to Houston. That was amazing. 46,000 people. So, let's not forget, it's October and it's 13th. It's El Clasico's coming to Houston. Chivas and Club America, LSSE.net, LSSE.net. The two, you know, winningest teams in Mexican League history who have won all the titles. It's Club America first, it's Chivas second, and they will play right here in Houston. It's going to be a big celebration. It'll be Chivas Club America. And you can get your tickets at LSSE.net. And that is going to be an event that does well. And if you want a full football experience, that will be a place to get it. All right, let's go to Columbus 3-1 at lower.com field in Columbus, Ohio. They get the win over LAFC. I'm going to take you. Okay, we're going to hit a break now? Okay, so we'll hit a break. We'll come back. We're going to start talking Leagues Cup. I got a great story to tell you about this guy from Brazil who loves soccer, who I ran into ahead of the concert, just started talking. This guy flew all the way from Brazil to see Sammy Hagar in Dallas and Houston to turn around to go home. I looked at him. I said, now that's rock and roll. And then I asked him about the Brazilian national team. So I'll tell you what he said. When we come back, his name was Alex, flew in from Sao Paulo. All right, this is one of my favorite Paul McCartney and Wings songs. It's called Let It Roll. All right, big shout out, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. They got Liverpool, Manchester United this weekend. All kinds of beer on tap, huge selection. Whiskies, Liverpool supporters group over there. Great guys, Dave, Peter. Get over there. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center on your way out towards Katy.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome everybody, to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We're going to put it in overdrive here. Anybody want to call in? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Is the number to call in. We're talking Leagues Cup, Houston Dynamo in this segment, and I got a couple of surprises for you as well. All right, so let's start it off as we come back. And again, big thank you and a reminder, we will be on the air again tomorrow. And I got a couple of guests for you tomorrow that you're going to very much enjoy. Tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit also about Anson Dorrance, the legendary women's college soccer coach and national team coach that has retired. So 45th minute, Cucho Hernandez, 57th, Olivier Giroud. That tied it at 1-1. 90+2, Cucho Hernandez, and 90+4, Jason Russell Rowe. Here's Hernandez's goal, the game winner.
Farsi keeps it away from Atuesta, slides it to Zawadzki. Back to Farsi. Farsi clipping it, Cucho! Cucho Hernandez!
Okay, so that was the 1-0 lead, Cucho Hernandez, a beautiful ball hung up. And, I mean, this guy's a head ball animal. Gets an incredible run at it, pounds the header in. Then it was tied up by Olivier Giroud of LAFC. And then Cucho in 90+2. It's kind of like a cross whipped into the back post that a goalkeeper doesn't know if it's going to get a deflection or get a touch from somebody, and it goes in. That wins the game for them, and then they score again. I mean, it ends five-star entertainment, big drama. Wilfred Nancy is like the guru of MLS coaches now. And he's winning with entertaining soccer, too. And there's transitional play. There's excitement to the game. It's played in different speeds. And they've had a body of work here that, yeah, you have to talk about and watch the way this team plays and say this is one of the best teams in MLS history, maybe put together. They won the 2023 MLS Cup. They win the League's Cup. They got to the 2024 CONCACAF Champions League final. That's winning. That's an organization that wants to win. No question. Top to bottom, both on the field and off it. So that's pretty good. I mentioned the guy Alex from Brazil. So we continued our conversation. I was like, wow, I'm stunned that you would come all the way here. And then I asked him about Brazil, obviously. And, you know, I think he followed me on social media. We should probably bring him on the show. He's talking about the Brazilian national team, how they're kind of out of favor with the Brazilian fan, that some of the allure has kind of dissipated from them, maybe based on players playing all over the world now. You know, not that we expect it to be the Pelé, Jorginho, time period or the Ronaldo time period. He did say that, you know, the fans are a little less endeared by the Brazilian national team. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to come out. We know that up at Texas A&M. But he did say, you know, the kind of old Brazil and the mystique has taken a bit of a hit. And he and many of the people there, he said, don't feel the players are as committed as they once were. Okay, now I want to take you to something that I find very important here. Here's Cucho Hernandez on the mentality approaching matches. This is post-match. Here's Cucho.
We take every game like the most important game. Mm-hmm. So that's the sweet card, of the team. Mm-hmm. I think if we play tomorrow, that's our final. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if it's MLS, League Cup, Open Cup. Yeah. We know we don't play in that cup now, but we take every game like the most important game.
So what'd you notice there? That's Cucho Hernandez in English. He learned English. That is gold. That man took the time to learn and speak English to the press and fans. It simply brings you closer to the player. When you don't try to learn the language of the country you're in. In other words, if I went to Mexico to work a job, I would learn Spanish. Enough to endear me to people, enough for me to get along. And more importantly, out of respect for maybe my employer and a fan base. I think that is just magical. It brings everybody closer. It also doesn't allow the player to be an isolationist. Now, you can be an isolationist. You can be an isolationist if you don't learn the language and just, you know, walk by people, refuse to talk. Kind of like a lot of the people now in the media, they won't talk and they just walk away when it's their obligation they should talk. So I thought that was pretty spectacular. Then I started to think of some of the Dynamo players in the past that we've had that, wow, if they could have spoken English, how much more marketability they would have had. How we could have put them on a plane with J.J. Watt and Justin Verlander and everybody else. For me, if I was running a club, you're coming to Houston. Yeah, it's great you speak Spanish to that segment. You're also going to learn to speak English, and you're going to make an effort to do it because of what I just said. Marketability, connection. you know, we don't get to hear Hector Herrera as much. We do in Spanish, but we don't get him in English. Don't you want to know what's up in his mind? I do. I want to know what's going on with Ezequiel Ponce. But it allows a team, it allows someone to live in a bubble and not have to effort the communication part of it on and off the field. I think organizations, especially in MLS, you know, demanding that is good. So I thought that was very cool from him. Very cool. All right, let's get into congratulations, Columbus Crew. I know there's people out there that don't like the League's Cup. You're not going to say that that wasn't a great final. And you can bet your bottom dollar, everybody in the MLS offices and the League's Cup, they were drinking champagne after that. It was a big finish. It was a big finish. I would like to see some of the games, or maybe you put some of the playoff games in Mexico, you know? All right, so you got Open Cup tonight, Sporting Kansas City against Indy 11. How can Indy 11 lose this? They got a defender named Maverick. Maverick McCoy. I love that. Their coach is Sean, I think it's Sean McCarty is their head coach. So, you know, good for Indy 11. They're down to the last four, and, you know, that sets up, you know, David versus Goliath, supposedly. And then you got Seattle LAFC as well. So let's get into the Houston Dynamo. 1-0 loss to Toronto. That was disappointing. I don't think there's any question. The data, 19-9 in shots, 4 on target for the Dynamo, 3 on target for Toronto. 72% of the possession. 72%. 28 for Toronto. Toronto didn't want the ball. They get their one goal. Here's what it sounded like. And they get the goal from Prince Owusu, who, by the way, did not control a single ball up front the entire night. He was a nightmare in the run of play for such a big man who played in Germany. But he scored the goal off the corner. And I thought the Dynamo did not react very well here and basically let him go up. And everybody kind of was looking at each other. And that would end up being the game winner.
Swings it in. Ooh, that's a vicious ball. 1-0 Toronto. Unbelievable. Prince Owusu has put in the header. We talked about the danger tonight of Federico Bernardeschi. Offset pieces and dead balls. Prince Owusu, who has really struggled to get a good look tonight, has provided the game's lone goal now in the 54th minute.
So there you go. Here's Ben Olsen post-match. And again, the same theme here is not putting teams away. It's great to get all the data. I think it's all great, but it doesn't matter unless you can win games.
It's a little bit of a broken record sometimes when I'm up here, and we played well. We have a lot of chances. Great first half, stagnant in the second half to get going. But then, you know, second part of that first half, we were sharp and again, created a ton more chances. You know, 18 shots is pretty good. 71% of the ball is pretty good. Yeah, look, we can do all this stuff, but we didn't make the play and they made the play. If we're going to be the team we want to be, we have to be killers.
Well, I think that still remains the big question, and I think that was a question before the season. Can you be killers in the goal-scoring department? Do you need a singular guy like Cucho Hernandez? I think it's very difficult for a number 9 in this Dynamo system. But here's something from John on Twitter. Too much possession, not enough lethality. Okay, that's a nice way of saying it. No point in having the ball 80% of the game if we don't do anything with it. So I think we all see it. I think this is a big question mark here. Because as a number 9 in this system, you're playing a lot with your back to goal. I don't think the Dynamo have enough in transition. There's not enough fear put in opponents. It's definitely a great possession team, but at times it gets very methodical. It's a slow build. You might have to score goals in front of opponents, but it's tough. And I hear some people bagging on Ponce. I guess you're bagging on him because he's not scoring a lot of goals. But he's playing with his back to goal. It's not a great system for a number 9. It's tough.
Even when he checks back to the ball, he's got Hector and Artur. He's got a bunch of guys around the box. It's not a lot of room. And unless you're getting a lot of penetration out wide, most of that comes later from Griffin Dorsey, who works his socks off every game and has been cutting inside more. But even when you cut inside, you're cutting right in where center forward is. I get it. It's part of it. But it is a system designed to defend first. So if you're a forward that wants a lot in front of you all the time, I don't think it's happening right now. I don't know. And I don't think it will change because the Dynamo are in every game. They control every game. I don't think it'll change. It could only maybe slightly be altered and put on the table if the Dynamo were to lose a couple of games and be in trouble playoff-wise. Now, they got LAFC twice coming up, on the road this weekend and back home. They have five more games at home, four away. At home, the Dynamo have been 4-3-5. It's not a great record. There's eight games where he left points on the table. I mean, they've left, what, three losses. That's 9 points and another five. What, 14 points on the table left at home. You got LAFC away. You got LAFC home. You got Real Salt Lake at home. That will be a different Real Salt Lake. I can assure you that. Then you got Vancouver at home. They're ahead of you in the table as well. These are all teams that are ahead of you. Then you go to Austin, who, depending on where they're at that time, could be fighting for their playoff lives. Then you go to Seattle, who's had a turnaround, and they're playing tomorrow night against LAFC in the Open Cup. And then you get two teams that are below you. You get New England at home, which will be a little bit of a surprise package. And then you go away to St. Louis, who, after the great season last year, has just gone into a downward spiral. And then you finish home against the LA Galaxy with Ricky Pooch, you know, and company there who have turned things around. The Galaxy are a good team. Ricky Pooch runs with the ball a lot. We don't get a lot of that. We don't get a lot of that with the Dynamo. It might be by design, but, you know, I see Danny Olmo pick a ball up today and run at people, and he tests their mentality. You know, is he going to give it up? No, he's not. He just ran past me. Oh, he's ran past another guy. Now he's in the penalty area. You know, and sometimes I think the Dynamo might overpass it, and it's easy from out here, from this perch. But I don't know. You tell me. 713-780-3776. I'll tell you one thing. Dynamo have had a good road record. They need Coco back right now, and they need his energy. That's what I think. I think they need Coco's energy. I think they need his up-tempo play. I think the system has gotten predictable. I think everybody knows we're going to go down the left side a lot with Aliyu, and he's going to have to cut it back in on his right, and then we're going to get a lot of numbers forward, and we're going to knock it around the box till we find something, and then the other option is Griffin Dorsey on the right. Hector's not having the season Herrera that he did last year. It's not possible. I told you at the beginning of the year, he's not going to have a season like that. That was off the chains, that season that man had last year. That was one of the greatest sporting values in Houston, in Houston sports history, and nobody really knew about it enough. And I would watch those games with just awe as to how good he was last year. It's not the same. He had 17 assists last year. He's not making the special plays as much. Yes, he's still an asset. And I think he's in his option year, and I don't see you keeping him at $6 million a year. If he's in his option year, he's going to have to possibly play here for cheap or cheaper. But the speed of play, the transition game, off the dribble, man, just, I don't know. And I get it. Toronto was sitting back in a low block. I get it. They were in a mid block too. So I think there's a lot of soul searching going on because data's great. 71% of the possession's great, but we all know that doesn't necessarily quantify getting results. So, number of different things going on there, and it'll be interesting to see what happens coming up. This is a big turnaround against LAFC. They're not going to be happy that they lost in the League's Cup. And, of course, you're going to get them, which is a good thing, after they play on Wednesday also. So that's not a bad thing. All right, that's going to do it tonight. I did want to really quickly mention something here. Now, you know what? We could do that tomorrow night. We can do that tomorrow night. All right, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 tonight. Great job, Guillermo. We'll be back 6 o'clock Central Time tomorrow night again, sponsored by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We thank you for all your support of the show. Catch the podcast of this, Spotify, Google, Apple. And until tomorrow night, remember, I'm Glenn Davis, and Soccer Matters.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.